Fargo is a Coen Brothers film from 1996. It featured a small town in Minnesota, a brutal murder, lots of snow, and a rather distinctive accent.
Did you look in his citation book?
Yeah. Last vehicle he rode in was a tan Sierra at 2:18 a.m. Under a plate number, he put DLR. I figured they stopped him or shot him before he could finish filling out the tag number.
Uh-huh.
So I got the state looking for a Sierra with a tag starting DLR. They don't got no match yet.
I'm not sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that vehicle there probably had dealer plates. DLR.
Oh. Jeez.
Say, Lou, do you hear the one about the guy couldn't afford personalized plates, so he went and changed his name to J3L2404?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It sure is. A clip from Fargo there with Frances McDormand as Marge Gunderson and Bruce Bone as Lou. Now a television series is taking Fargo to the small screen. It's premiered on US television last night. Roe McDermott has been taking a look for us. Just remind us of what the 1996 film did. It looked back to a story in 1986.
Yeah, which was purportedly, according to the opening title cards, a true story. But of course it actually wasn't. But the Coen brothers were playing with this idea that you're more likely to embrace something that's stranger than fiction if you believe it's actually based in real events. But it's set in a small town. You know, you can even hear from the accent people in the small town. They're so gung-ho and charming and absolutely passive-aggressive. But it's based around this lowly salesman played brilliantly by William H. Macy, who is just so hangdog and down on his luck and is desperate for some money. So kind of embroils himself in this ridiculous plot to get money from his father-in-law by staging a kidnapping of his wife, but his wife unfortunately isn't in on the plan, and it all goes horribly wrong and becomes this murderously dark, really blackly comic story of violence.
So if there is such a thing as a typical Coen Brothers movie, Fargo is exactly that.
Yeah.
And it was a big success, and it's on lots of people's best movies list. Okay, so you decide to make a television series out of that. You're really setting yourself up for a fall here. Who decided that it was a good idea?
Well, loads of people have decided it was a good idea. It just hasn't worked before, because CBS set up a pilot back in 98, like immediately after Fargo was released, and they were trying to ride on the coattails of its success. And Kathy Bates directed this pilot, and Edie Falco played Marge, but it was an absolute disaster and was completely scrapped. And then MGM tried to create a pilot in 2003, taking over the film's characters, but the Coen brothers weren't involved at all. But finally, Studio FX have got involved, and they've become really, I mean, infamous now for creating really great, edgy drama. And they have the Coen brothers on it as executive producers, which is such a steal for them. It's a win, because the Coen brothers are famously very wary of any form of imitation, but said once they read the script, they were just brought back into the eerie kind of atmosphere of their film and really were on board. So luckily, this adaptation, I mean, it doesn't take the direct characters from the film, but it kind of takes their types. So you have Martin Freeman.
And we shift in time as well, don't we?
We shift in time. I mean, and again, even the opening titles say this is based on a true story, and again, it's absolutely not, but it's in 2006 now. So it's, again, it's kind of bringing it to a new younger audience who mightn't be as familiar with the source material. And you have this new cast. You have Martin Freeman as Lester Nygaard, who is taking over William H. Macy's role as this lowly salesman. But it's just captures the brilliant balance between really, really dark humour, really graphic violence, but then that brilliant, bizarre, small town mentality where nobody's really communicating and just makes everything a bit messier.
What's Billy Bob Thornton? What's his character?
He plays Lauren Malvo, and he is basically the little devil on everybody's shoulder. So one night, this lowly salesperson, he's bullied by the man who used to bully him in school is still bullying Lester, and he ends up in hospital, and in the waiting room, this, you know, enigmatic figure in black comes and starts planting all these very insidious ideas about violence and murder into his head.
Well, let's listen to a clip. Actually, I'm guessing it probably is that precise scene, because the first voice we'll hear is that of Martin Freeman, who sounds as Lester Nygaard, just a little bit tired of what's happening to him. But then the voice comes into the head, that of Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, what a day. If that was me, I would have killed that man. If you don't stand up to the boss, the wine, you're just going to get washed away.
Where's the accent gone?
They downplay the accent, which is probably a good thing because it's so infectious. I mean, it worked beautifully in the film because it played on this idea that everybody's a little bit innocent, a little bit gormless. And then when they're thrust in these really dark circumstances, it makes everything just innately funny because you have these beautiful characters who are, you know, so pleasant. And, you know, when they get shot in the face and, you know, they're bleeding to death in the snow, they just say, oh, geez, oh, heck, darn it, you know, and it's just innately funny. But the humour and the accent are both grounded here, and it gives the entire series, I mean, or the pilot, and the American critics were lucky enough to see the first four episodes, but it gives it kind of a darker edge because William H. Macy, he's so pathetic in the first film. One that you feel sorry for him.
William H. Macy
In the film. Yeah. He was such a pathetic character that you really felt bad for him because he just, everything seemed to happen to him. Mm. But Martin Freeman, because the tone is just a little bit more realistic, I mean, he gets involved in this situation, but he's less innocent because there is a scene where he attacks someone. We won't give away any spoilers. But you see the viciousness and the violence, and there is really dark humour in it. But they also up the kind of psychological ante and show how everybody, particularly the men, there's a theme of masculinity and machismo and how that can overflow in men. And it's kind of exploring evil in a much darker way than the film.
It's a 10-part series. I mean, you've seen some of the early episodes?
I saw the pilot, yeah.
Right, so you've seen the pilot. So can it sustain over the 10 episodes of the series? And is it leaving itself open for further stories to tell, or is it going to be self-contained and die at the end in the way it should in some ways?
I think it's going to be self-contained, but it's going to be self-contained in a way that if it's a success, the supporting characters can kind of take over and they can branch the story out, which is how television is working now. I mean, if you look at True Detective and, you know, another FX series, American Horror Story, it has this ability to branch out should it be a success. And I think the supporting cast is incredible. You have Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad, you have Colin Hanks as a young detective, you have Oliver Platt. It has all these really great character actors in it, so I think they can expand on that. And I think the story in itself as a self-contained entity, I think it's going to be really interesting to see Martin Freeman and his character develop, much in the way of Breaking Bad, where you see this kind of slightly bumbling character descend into absolute evil. So the first episode was brilliant. I can't wait to see the next one.
Well, if you want to watch and start watching this TV version of Fargo, it starts on Easter Sunday. That's next Sunday, the 20th of April at 9 p.m. and it's on Channel 4.